Fantastic and the Heartbreakers and Too Good to Be True in the Psychedelic First to start the hour in Prissy and Pink. 40 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. And the problem of why food sticks to non-stick frying pans has finally been solved by scientists. Do you have a problem with that?
Non-stick food sticks to frying pans, did you say?
Non-stick frying pans.
Frying pans.
Why does the food stick to it?
Non-stick food.
Not only that, but a possible solution has been provided to avoid being stuck with the messy frying pan. Scientists at the Czech Academy of Sciences discovered it comes down to a dry spot in the pan. We experimentally explained why food sticks to the centre of the frying pan, said the team. This is caused by the formation of a dry spot in the thin sunflower oil film as a result of thermocapillary convection. Not something you often encounter when you're cooking. According to the research published in the Physics of Fluids magazine, convection is to blame for creating a dry spot. Convection is the transfer of heat by the movement of a fluid between areas of different temperature. Now, when the frying pan is heated from below, the oil film at the centre of the pan is hotter than at the edge, creating a temperature difference. For common liquids, such as the sunflower oil used in the experiment, the surface tension decreases when temperature increases. This difference in oil surface tension, less in the middle and more at the edge, creates a type of convection known as thermocapillary convection, which moves oil outwards. Now, when the oil film in the middle becomes thinner than a critical value, it ruptures, creating a dry spot, and the food then sticks to the pan. To avoid unwanted dry spots, the following set of measures should be applied: increasing the oil film thickness, moderately heating, completely wetting the surface of the pan with oil, using a pan with a thick bottom, or stirring food regularly during cooking. Now, the findings may have industrial as well as domestic importance, says the team, as the phenomenon occurs in other situations, such as the thin liquid films used in fluid distillation columns or other devices which may have electronic components. Dry spot formation or film rupture plays a negative role, resulting in sharp overheating of the electronic components.
Good.
It helps to oil if you actually oil the meat rather than the pan as well, is good. Don't sort of pour the oil straight in the pan, just lightly oil the meat and then put it into a dry pan, and that usually sorts the problem as well. That's this morning's cooking tip, 16 minutes past 8.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Dawn Howard is here with Woofer of the Week and a little update. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning to you, Rob. Yes, I've got a really nice update for you this morning. Our last two woofers, so that was Tokyo and Kira, have both now been adopted. So that's really good news. We're pleased about that.
Excellent.
And today we have a nine-month-old, very timid little puppy who is looking for kind humans and a forever home. Roomba is her name, and she's shy, as I said. She takes time to approach. So she needs really soft and patient owners who will allow her to come out of her shell. If those owners already had a confident dog, it would set her a good example of how you can be around people and obviously would help to reassure her. She's sociable with male and female dogs. She weighs around 14 kilos. She does need to learn the basic commands, obviously, because she's still a puppy, but she doesn't pull too much on the lead, so that's good. It's clear that she needs to start again with new owners who can offer her and show her affection this time. She's currently at the refuge Chien Sans Collier, and you can contact them on 06-19-57-2181 to find out more and to make an appointment to meet her for yourself.
Rumba, as in the dance?
Yes.
Okay. I have to think of a few rumbas then, I think.
The year of the R's, you see. If you have a new dog this year, you're meant to start with an R. That's why we're having so many R's.
Sure, that's an R or an R.
She's not a pirate.
Okay, Dawn, thank you very much. Speak to you next week.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Vieira Radio.
Wednesday morning pop quiz. I've scored precisely 0 points so far this week.
No, I think you'll be fine today.
Okay.
I've made it easy. 1978.
You will say that.
It was the year when The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy first broadcast on BBC Radio 4.
42.
42 what?
The answer to life, the universe and everything.
Ipswich Town beat Arsenal 1-0 to win the FA Cup, and Bobby Argentina beat Holland 3-1 to win the World Cup on home ground. The movies to watch in 1978 included Grease and, of course, Superman. Popular television shows included Happy Days, Charlie's Angels and The Love Boat. And the arcade game Space Invaders was released, and the most popular toy was, of course, Hungry Hippos.
Did you like Happy Days?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Love Boat as
Richie
well.
Richie Cunningham.
Question number one. Which Italian song by Italian singer Umberto Tozzi was number one in France on this day in 1978?
That one.
Yeah, the one I really like.
Yeah, Ti Amo.
Correct. Question number two. Boney M had the best-selling single of the year in the UK with The Rivers of Babylon, Brown Girl in the Ring. The song spent 19 weeks in the top 10, including 5 weeks at number one.
Don't remember it.
But which song by John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John came in second place?
You're the One That I Want.
Correct.
Could have played Ti Amo this morning if you'd left it to the last question.
Well, I've debated, but this was my earworm, and I think quite appropriate at this time. With COVID and everything, I think the lyrics are quite... Well, OK. It was the follow-up single to the then best-selling UK single of all time, Marla Cantar, by The Wings. It reached number five in the UK charts in 1978. What was the track?
Not by Wings, obviously.
Yes. It was by Wings.
Really?
It was their follow-up single to the Marla Cantar.
Well, all I can think of is With a Little Luck.
Yes.
Is it?
Okay. Well done. That's 3 out of 3. That's a hat trick.
Well, I remember the track. I don't remember it being a big hit, though.
Number five.
Well,
you put
it was
Wings,
a big hit,
you've
then.
Got the shorter version.
Well, is there a long... Well, we could have the long version if you want.
Yeah,
we could have the long version. We've got 5 minutes, you know, just between friends.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice of you to join us.
Always a pleasure.
You okay today?
I'm very well.
Seems like the frenzy is over at the moment on the Reddit stuff.
The Reddit rumble is calming down, as it's been described. Yeah, equity markets bouncing back quite nicely, in fact, for a second straight session, as the rebound from last week's losses extend, driven by consensus beating earnings, particularly from the technology sector. No doubt we'll talk about that. Vaccine progress, signs that retail frenzy in shorted stocks is, as I say, losing some of its steam. We've seen a reduction in trades in some of those shorted stocks as hedge funds scale back positions, with bearish investors feeling compelled to cover some of their positions. GameStop shares, I think, were down 60% or something around that sort of figure yesterday. There's no doubt some retail investors caught up with the hype have been hurt by that whole process. US stimulus, a source of optimism. Senate began the process that would lead Democrats to pass President Biden's $1.9 trillion proposal without Republican votes. I think some compromise will come through. That figure will come down, but still will be significant for the US's growth prospects. Stock 600 climbed 1.3%. posting its best two-day rally since November the 10th. Travel and leisure and banks very much leading the way. Over on Wall Street, the S&P 500 was up 1.4%, NASDAQ was up 1.5%. Looks like we are going to get a positive start on the European bourses this morning. Kind of calling it FTSE up 15 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 28 points. CAC in Paris up 21 points.
I don't know if you saw the story yesterday about Dr. Michael Burry, the man at the
big
centre
short.
Of the Big Short. Apparently he made more money over the last couple of days than he did during the financial crisis.
Well, quite incredible if that turns out to be the case, because he did certainly very well predicting the crash, the financial crash of 2008. The level that we've seen in terms of the disruption to markets has certainly been much less dramatic, of course, than those times. So the opportunity to make significant amounts of money is perhaps a little bit more questionable, but we wait to see.
Yeah, and the guy at the centre of the Wolf of Wall Street said yesterday, you know, that small retail investors are going to get burned, and it looks like a lot of them have already.
Yeah, particularly I think he was talking about the idea those who are last to jump on the bandwagon will get hurt the hardest, and no doubt that will turn out to be the case. If you were late to this party, you've been left with a big bill.
Well, so a lot of people are sort of equating it to a Ponzi scheme. Would you go along with that?
With a what scheme, sorry?
Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme is the idea that you pay investors, new invest, where you pay out old investors a rate that you couldn't perform using new investors' money, and eventually it sort of collapses around that. This is slightly different to that process.
I think the analogy is that, you know, a few people sort of encouraged a lot of small investors to get involved in the market, and then of course they pulled all their money out and made a packet, leaving everybody else to carry the can.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This classic sort of, when we spoke about it at the end of last week, certainly can be viewed through the classic lens of a pump and dump scheme, where, as you say, a small number of people encourage a broader range of investors to put their money in, at the same time they take their money out at the top, and the price very quickly crashes back to fair values, and those last in will get hurt pretty hard.
See, Mario Draghi's a glutton for punishment, isn't he?
I know. Mario Draghi, the former European Central Bank president, perhaps being plucked out of retirement. I think he's been asked, I don't think we're at that point yet, but tasked with forming a new government and to become Italy's next prime minister in a bid to avoid early elections. Mario Draghi, of course, very much a respected figure by markets. Italy still has some significant changes to go through in order to get to a point where they can put its finances on a sustainable path, and perhaps he's the man to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a bet that he doesn't last as long as the Italian Prime Minister he did at the President of the European Central Bank.
I think there's a good chance of that. I can't remember what the figure is. Italy has had a crazy amount of Prime Ministers in a very short space of time.
Is it worth trying to short it?
I don't know if there's a market for that.
Okay, well, would you believe that Amazon's Jeff Bezos is stepping down as chief executive?
Well, going out at the top, you could certainly argue that. Reporting a very strong set of consensus-beating numbers, Amazon announcing its CEO Jeff Bezos would step down 25 years after founding the company in a garage and taking it to a $1.7 trillion organization. In terms of performance, fourth quarter revenue surged to $125 billion, smashing its own and analysts' forecast. Profit hit a record for the third consecutive quarter, came at $7.2 billion. Full-year earnings, $21 billion, nearly double the $11 billion profit of 2019. Driven, of course, by online sales, but also its web services businesses, particularly cloud computing, doing incredibly well. Turn to the outlook, expect another $100 billion revenue quarter in the first 3 months of this year. Management changes. Bezos, of course, become executive chairman. Andy Jassy, who established its web services business, that key growth area, will take over. Bezos said he would focus on climate change funds, space program, and the Washington Post. So not exactly retirement. And of course, he has something like a net worth of $200 billion to keep him busy.
Don't know why he just doesn't retire and so take it easy, really.
Yeah, that's the reason why he's got $200 billion, because he doesn't want to retire, I'm sorry to say. Amazon share has been a good performer, up 68% over the course of the past 12 months, outperforming the S&P, that's up 17% over the same time.
And somebody else with a few quid, Alphabet.
Google parent Alphabet shares up 8% in after-hours trading this after topping quarterly sales expectations for its advertising and cloud businesses. Google, which generates more revenue from internet advertising than any other, benefited from lockdowns that drove retailers and other clients online, helping to offset cutbacks in travel and entertainment advertisers. Google advertising business, including YouTube, accounted for 81% of the $57 billion record sales, which was up 23%. For 2020, across the board, sales growth came in at 13%. That's actually the slowest increase since 2009. Alphabet increased its cash hoard by $17 billion last year, taking its cash mounting to an astonishing $137 billion. In terms of the outlook, saying advertising spending has been picking up, so they would focus on expanding its cloud business. Alphabet, like other technology companies, do face some challenges in the next couple of years, including the likes of rising costs, increased competition, and perhaps some significant regulatory battles.
Foreign exchanges, so pound's doing a bit better, which is not so good if you want to export something from the UK. Sorry.
We don't need to worry about that anymore. Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.36. Euro dollar coming in at 1.20. We're focusing on our vaccinations at the moment. €1.13 for your British pound this morning.
OK, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leinster has the top stories across the Riviera.
Three Monégasque residents aged 82, 90 and 92 have died from COVID. Speaking on Tuesday evening, the Minister of State, Pierre Dartout, said this evening we deplore a particularly heavy death toll and on behalf of the princely government, I would like to extend our sincere condolences to the families and relatives of these people, adding that he assures them of full support of the princely government at these times of great sadness for the entire national community. Since the start of the COVID-19 health crisis in the Principality, a total of 17 residents have died from COVID. 44 new cases of COVID were identified on Tuesday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 1,543. 62 people are currently in hospital and 127 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, the Regional Health Agency has announced 55 new deaths from COVID-19 in the Outmarra team on Tuesday. The increase comes due to the update of deaths in nursing homes in the region. 39 of the 55 deaths occurred in nursing homes and 16 in hospitals. Since the start of the pandemic, the coronavirus has claimed 1,187 victims in the Outmarra team, 838 in hospitals and 349 in nursing homes. The latest figures show that the number of people being hospitalised is decreasing slightly and the incidence rate also decreased slightly, with 450 new cases detected over 7 days per 100,000 inhabitants. In other news, as teaching unions call for strike action tomorrow, Thursday, the 4th of February, 10 schools in Grasse have already taken necessary action to guarantee a minimum reception service. They include the Henri Wallon Nursery School and the Saint-Jacques Primary School. For the full list of schools in Grasse and more details, go to rivieradio.mc. In an attempt to clamp down on speeding, six speed cameras have been installed on the Moyne Corniche between Roquebrune and Beausoleil. The aim is to improve the stretch of road, which is accident-prone, with motorists driving at particularly high speeds. Increased police checks have been taking place in Nice to ensure compliance with coronavirus measures in shops. And meanwhile, border police and the Outmarra team have been carrying out controls. There were 44 offences recorded for non-presentation of a PCR test. 618 people were checked at the airport, with three fines issued for non-presentation of a PCR test and one non-medical admission. And meanwhile, a vaccination centre has opened at the Palais Nicaea in Nice. A deputy mayor of Nice said that even though the vaccine supply is insufficient, no appointments have yet been cancelled. French President Emmanuel Macron has given a surprise interview on French television. During his appearance on TF1 on Tuesday evening, the head of state assured that by the end of the summer, France will have offered all French adults who wish a vaccine. While many expected Macron to speak of a possible return to lockdown, the President of the Republic chose to speak of the vaccination campaign in France. He said that Europe had secured the supply of a total of 2.3 billion doses, enough to allow all French adults who wish to benefit from it at the latest this summer. He also mentioned the French contribution to the production of doses and a possible authorisation of the Russian vaccine. He also estimated at the beginning of March that 80% of residents of nursing homes who have requested to be vaccinated will have been vaccinated. That's around 500,000 people. And that at that stage, all those over 75 will also have been vaccinated. Asked about the Sputnik V vaccine, whose effectiveness is estimated at 91.6% in a recent study, the head of state replied that no distribution in France was possible as long as the Russian producer had not submitted an application for marketing authorisation. The minute this is submitted, the European authorities and France's national authorities will scientifically examine the vaccine independently and, depending on the results and the evidence, will approve it or not. The president also underlined that it is not France's vaccination strategy which will make it possible to avoid in the short term a return to lockdown, but it's France's mobilisation, that is to say France's ability to respect barrier gestures along with the ability to test, support and protect, concluding that France will continue to manage the pandemic in this way with an objective to hold out, to protect the weakest, to protect France's health system and to be able to protect as much as possible the younger generations who need to study, go to school and in short to have a country as open as possible despite the circulation of the COVID virus. Meanwhile, the president of the Public Assistant Hospitals of Paris has said that he expects the English coronavirus variant to gain the upper hand. Speaking to French media, Professor Remy Salomon said that in the Paris region, the variant accounted for 15 to 20% of cases last week. That's up from 6% on January the 7th, and it's growing. He added that the coronavirus measures in place at the moment will not be enough, and he called for a return to lockdown, including the closure of schools. France's Europe Minister Clément Beaune has said that Britain has taken a lot of risks in rolling out its speedy COVID vaccination programme, as officials in Brussels claim that the EU had nothing to envy from nations such as the UK, the US and Israel. The European Commission has in recent days been locked in a bitter public fight with AstraZeneca over a significant shortfall in expected doses in the first quarter of 2021, which raised questions about how momentum will be gained in the coming weeks. Finally, according to new climate change predictions by France's National Weather Service, France as a whole is on track to heat up nearly 3 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels by about 2070. The report showed that in the worst-case scenario, which scientists cannot exclude, southern France could experience 1 or 2 months of continuous heat waves by the 21st century.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, there were 4 games in the English Premier League on last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Wolverhampton Wanderers beat Arsenal 2-1 at Molineux to record their first Premier League win since the middle of December. The Gunners had David Luiz and Bernd Leno sent off either side of half-time. Wolves boss Nuno Espirito Santo was delighted with João Moutinho's winning strike.
It's amazing, it's amazing. It's a beautiful moment. The only sorrow is that our fans in the South Bank were not there because it's a beautiful strike.
In the day's other matches, Sheffield United registered just their third Premier League win of the season, coming from behind to beat second bottom West Brom 2-1 at Bramall Lane. Manchester United returned to form in spectacular style, beating Southampton 9-0 at Old Trafford to move level on points with Manchester City at the top of the Premier League. And Crystal Palace came from a goal down to take all 3 points away at Newcastle. The action continues on Wednesday with leaders Manchester City travelling to Burnley. City are on a club record run of 12 consecutive victories in all competitions. The last Premier League side to win 13 consecutive games was Arsenal back in 2002. City boss Pep Guardiola, a former player for Barcelona and the Spanish national side, has had great success in charge but still wishes he could be on the pitch.
I had the feeling when I had the ball in my feet, someone said, oh, now I can control the game. Now I had the feeling I can decide what's happening. Outside, you cannot. So the pleasure to play football is incomparable. So to be a manager, it just, I would say, it is a way to continue to be involved in this lovely game. In other side, but I would change right now to have 20 years less to still play football.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Yes, so 5 more games tonight. Burnley play Manchester City. Come on, Stuart, do us a favour.
I would think it would be an away win for Man City, wouldn't it?
You never know, though, do you, really? I mean, results are so strange. Yeah, I think City will win. Fulham against Leicester, that could be quite interesting.
Leicester.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they lost, didn't they, last time? Fulham, I might go for a draw there. Leeds against Everton.
Everton.
Leeds on a bit of a roll. I'll take Leeds there. Aston Villa against West Ham. That's another interesting one.
Yeah, might be a draw or a away win for
West Ham. Yeah, and Liverpool against Brighton.
It's not going to be easy. Home win for Liverpool.
It's got to be Liverpool. In the English Championship last night, Millwall and Norwich drew 0-0. Sheffield Wednesday with 2-1 winners at Bournemouth. Coventry lost 2-1 at home to Nottingham Forest, and Wickham Wanderers and Birmingham drew 0-0. In the Scottish Premiership, Livingston were 2-0 winners at Aberdeen, St Mirren lost 2-1 at home to Hibs, and Celtic were 4-0 winners at Kilmarnock. Cricket, Bangladesh are playing West Indies in the first test in Chattagram. The home side won the toss and decided to bat. A couple of overs ago, they were 66 for 2. And in rugby union, the Six Nations will go ahead as planned after the French government said that quarantine restrictions will be eased for the tournament. Matches will go ahead at the scheduled date in a biosecure bubble. Scotland and Wales will visit Paris while France travel to Italy, Ireland and England. The tournament starts on Saturday. That's Saturday afternoon taken care of then, isn't it? Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,010 millibars over the Gulf of Lyon. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, cloudy, force 2 to 4, northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4. Variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Partially cloudy once again today, light variable winds, top temperature 14 degrees, overnight lows 10 degrees with cloudy skies, Thursday and Friday cloudy tomorrow, fine on Friday, highs of 13 to 15 degrees. Finally,
you might want to check your change from the UK as the Royal Mint has revealed the rarest 50p coins in circulation, and one coin featuring a scene inspired by Kew Gardens could be worth as much as £700. More than 70 different designs have featured on 50 pence pieces over the years. In fact, it's nearly 50 years since the 50 pence was created, along with the other coins. The 50 pence is the most collectible coin thanks to its larger face compared to other coins. New designs added recently include the characters of Sherlock Holmes and Paddington Bear, along with landmarks like St Paul's Cathedral and the Tower of London.
Do you remember when somebody gave you 50p when you were a kid and you thought you were really well off?
You got, yeah, you get loads of penny
sweets. Straight down the sweet shop. Yeah. And change to boots.